The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Okay, don't worry. I'm not the one teaching today. Hallelujah. All right, today we're going to be starting a series titled Take Your Seat. And today we're going to be starting the first part of that series, part one, and it's titled Take Your Seat at the Table. So let's sit back and be ministered to. God bless you.
Today we are starting a series. It's most likely going to be a series, but we are looking at what is titled, Take Your Seat. I'm assuming we all have taken our seats, but we are looking at Take Your Seat.
Holy words, long preserved for a world in this world. There is
one of Take Your Seat, we're looking at take your seat at the table. Take your seat at the table. 2 Samuel 9, verse 7 is the story of Mephibosheth. And the word of God says in verse 7, so David said to him, we are trusting God that everyone that has assigned seats will take their seats in the name of Jesus. We are trusting God that everyone will take their place and each of their places in the name of Jesus. We are trusting God that another will not take your seats in the name of Jesus. So David said to him, do not fear, don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness. God will surely show you kindness in the name of Jesus. I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table. continually. So the question is, before God intervened in the life and in the situation of Mephibosheth, who was occupying the land of his father? Who was occupying the land of his grandfather? Who was occupying the inheritance that belonged to him? There is no vacuum in the spirit. So the things that we have not come into is currently being occupied by an illegal occupant. Illegal, but still in possession. God is going to dispossess them in the name of Jesus. And because of Christ, because of your Father, Jesus, God is going to make it happen. So verse 13 says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table. So the seats and the position that God will give to you will be continual in the name of Jesus. The things that, you know, you could say that this is a very prophetic word, you know, and like some of you know, we just don't say mini mini manimo, what should we preach today? You know, we ask God, we wait to hear by the grace of God what he has for his people. And he's saying to you and I, take your seat at the table. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, for you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When the word of God says, take your seat at the table, it means that there is a chair for you at the table. It doesn't mean take your seat at the table, it doesn't mean sit on the table. Take your seat at the table means take your seat that has access to the table. And that table has fullness of joy, has pleasures forevermore. And that is God's heart for you and I. Many times when people come to God, to Jesus, for most people, I would say, the entrance into the kingdom is beautiful, particularly if you know where God has delivered you from. You know, it's a beautiful experience. But unfortunately, most Christians only come into the kingdom and stay at the door. And stay at the entrance. We are so grateful to at least be in the kingdom. But you see, grace doesn't leave you at the door. It doesn't. Grace doesn't leave you at the door. Grace gives you a seat at the table. The grace that saves you can seat you. The grace that delivered you can deliver to you. The grace of God that has brought you through the door wants to seat you at the table. So you were sought, you are summoned, and you are supposed to be seated. You are sought, you are summoned, and you are supposed to be seated. Number one, you are sought by covenant. You are sought by covenant. It is by covenant. Everybody say by covenant. By covenant you are sought. By covenant. 2 Samuel 9, 1 says, now David said, is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? It is for covenant's sake. So God is looking and saying, are there people in God's favorite house that I can still show kindness because of Jesus? For Jesus' sake. And my hand goes up. Me. Praise God. My two hands and my two legs. So you are about to receive kindness, not because of your own record, but because of somebody else's covenant. You are about to receive kindness. You see, you are about to receive kindness, not because of your record, but because of somebody else's covenant. And that is one aspect of being a child of God, that when we embrace it, when we understand it, we become unstoppable. We become completely unstoppable because you gain access to places not on your own merit, on what Jesus has done for you. So we are not seated because of our perfection. We are seated because of Christ. We are not seated because of our perfection. We are seated because of Christ. And he sought us by covenant. He sought us by covenant. You see, even when people say, oh, the time I gave my life to God, the time I came to Jesus, you think you came to him. You think you did. But he has been working over time to draw you to himself. Many of us, we think we have chosen to serve God. Oh, the day I chose to become a worker, the day I chose to serve God, and God is nodding, yeah. And that's why Jesus would say to his disciples, I chose you, you didn't choose me. We are sought, and we are sought by covenant. And if we are honest, you know, it's not because we are flawless. So we are not received because our work has been flawless. We are received because Jesus made a covenant. So Jesus made a covenant. And that is what speaks for us. The blood speaks for us. At the God again service, I was explaining in a criminal case court situation, how you can plead, you know, you can plead guilty, you can plead non-guilty, you can choose to remain silent, and if you choose to remain silent by default, you'll be entered as pleading non-guilty because your fundamental right is that you are innocent until proven guilty. So if you choose to remain quiet, and then number four, you can plead what? You can plead the blood. You can plead the blood. And when you plead the blood, and we do it, when we pray, we say what? I plead the blood of Jesus. You know what you're doing? You're actually saying in the court of heaven, I am not coming by my own righteousness. I am not coming by my own flawlessness. I'm coming by the power that is in the blood of Jesus. That is why I'm coming. And so to come before God timid, to come before God not knowing if God will answer my prayers or not, something is wrong. It means that you don't know who you are. And God is saying to you today, take your seat. Praise the name of the Lord. Take your seat. So the grace of God started searching for you before you start standing. The grace starts searching for you before you start standing. And so God is saying to you and I, we need to settle it once and for all in our minds that we are not accepted for our own sake. We are not accepted for our own sake. You are accepted for his sake. You are not accepted for your sake. You are accepted for Christ's sake. It's for Christ's sake you are accepted. It's for Christ's sake. So I come by the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. You see, in the life of Job, there was a time he said, I wish there was someone that can stand for me and plead my case for me. You know, when I read it, you know, the pain of Job, I mean, what he was going through, I wish I had someone that can stand and plead my case. But guess what? With us, we have an advocate that lives forever to make intercession for us. Hallelujah. God called Jesus an advocate. An advocate is an attorney. An advocate is a lawyer. Imagine it is the son of the judge that is your lawyer. Not only a son of the judge, the son of the judge, in him, the judge is well pleased. Is your lawyer. Is your attorney. The son of the judge, in whom the judge is well pleased, and the judge has said, come and sit on my right hand. Because every other attorney stands while the judge is seated. But the judge has already said to this attorney, come and sit. Sit down. And that's your lawyer. So what manner of people we ought to be? The enemy wants people to feel that their voice is not that strong in the spirit. Oh, they are not that. It's a lie. Guess what? Not only do you have someone standing for you, God says, you come and stand. There's a seat for you. Come and sit for Christ's sake, for his sake. If you look at Mephibosheth did not climb his way. He did not fight his way to the table. Mephibosheth was invited to the table. The blood of Jesus is your invitation to the table. He was invited to the table. He was invited to the table. And when we have that understanding, and that is why we are powerful in intercession. We are powerful in praying for people. That's why, I mean, by God's grace, many times when I'm praying for people, I am coming. I know that God will hear me on that this person's case. And I'm praying for the person. And God wants us to use our access for other people. And that's a different, you know, kettle of fish. How powerful you become when you are using your access for other people. In the case of Job, he's wondering who's going to use his access for me. In your case, Jesus has used his access for you. He's invited you. So you and I have to use our access for who? For other people. For other people. And when you look at the story of Mephibosheth, he was covered in shame. But you see, the grace of God removes every shame from your life in the name of Jesus. So grace summons you from the place shame has kept you. Grace summons you. Grace says, come, lift up your head. Lift up your head. Walk tall. Lift up your head. Grace is summoning you. And that is the second thing. The first thing is that we are sought by covenants. The second is that what? We are what? Summoned from shame by grace. We are summoned from shame. Not only are you sought, you are summoned. I mean, so here's the example. You know, not only did God find you, God is summoning you out. You know, you can find somebody in trouble and you can say sorry and go, right? Or you can find someone in trouble and say, okay, take $50 and go. You can find someone in trouble and say, take $150 and go. God doesn't just, in our case, he didn't just give us the $50. He didn't just see us in a situation and he didn't just cite us He didn't just seek us out. We are not just sought by covenant. He didn't just hand us what we need in our situation. He summoned us out of the situation. David did not just say, let me help Mephibosheth. Let me just give him something. He took him out of Lodibar and brought him to Jerusalem and says, you will sit with me, you will sit on my table, and that's what God has done for you and I. Hallelujah. We are summoned from shame. We are summoned from shame. Grace calls you out. Calls you out of the place that named you. There are places that have named us. There are places that have branded us. You know, and sometimes we don't even know we are carrying some names. But grace calls you out of it, even now in the name of Jesus. Verse 4 of 2 Samuel chapter 9 says, and Ziba said to the king that indeed he is in the house of Micaiah, the son of Amiel, in Lodibar. Mephibosheth was in Lodibar. Lodibar was so far away from Jerusalem. Mephibosheth was not only in Lodibar, he was in somebody's house. He was pitching. He was squatting in someone's house. Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. You know, sometimes the things that are rightfully ours are not given to us. And there are many people that live and die without getting access to the things that are rightfully theirs. Your own case will be different. You will get full access to everything that is rightfully yours in the mighty name of Jesus. He lived with the consequences of someone else's panic. That's the story of Mephibosheth. There was chaos. He was a child. The maid that was taking care of him, that was carrying him, panicked and he dropped and his leg got broken. That was how he was crippled for the rest of his life. So he lived with the consequences of somebody else's panic. And sometimes the things we are facing is a consequence of somebody else's action. It's not your fault you were born into the family. It's not your fault that your family is broken. But you have to carry this scar. It's not your fault that perhaps a country you are in is broken. You have to carry this scar. It's not your fault. And sometimes that the education system sometimes is broken. You know, education system is broken in most parts of the world. And sometimes we have to live with these consequences of somebody else's panic, somebody else's imperfection. It's not your fault that your wife is like this, but you have to live with it. It's not your fault that your husband is like this, but you have to live with it. It's not your fault. It's not your fault, but you have to live with it. He lived with the consequences of somebody else's panic. Family falls. There are relational falls. There are leadership falls. And there are childhood falls. There are trust falls. You know, some people are crippled trust-wise. People are saying, I can never trust a woman. Crippled. Oh, I can never trust a man. Crippled. Trust. I can never trust a yellow lady. Anyone that is yellow, I can never trust. A man whose name is... Well, oh Lord, what has that name done to people? I don't know. My wife keeps showing me different videos. And they are saying it again. You are gentle. Childhood falls. There are things that are out of your control. They are genuinely out of your control. But God is summoning you out of that shame in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God is calling you and summoning you out. You know, it's not just so that there's some alliteration and rhyming that we went from sought to summoned to seated. You know, we try to, you know, for those that have done the course on the ministry of the word, we talked about the transitions and stuff, you know. But summoned is strong. Summoned is not just called. Summoned is strong. If someone calls you, there's this possibility of ignoring the call. But if someone summons you, there's like it's summoning you with a law enforcement agent that if you say no, they are bringing you. So God is summoning you with police of heaven. He's saying you are coming out of that shame. In the name of Jesus, you are coming out of that fall. In the name of Jesus, it's interesting that when we look at Mephibosheth's response in verse 8 of 2 Samuel verse chapter 9, Mephibosheth's response was, "What is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I?" If you look at his situation, it was just, you could say, well, it was being humble. But the truth is that many times, the things we call humility is just shame. It's shame. We are covering shame with humility. And it's not really humility. Imagine how his father would have felt. If Jonathan was alive, imagine how Jonathan would have felt for his son to say before David, his friend, that what is it that you should look upon such a dead dog as me? How would the father feel? Imagine how Jesus feels when we give those excuses that we are not enough, that, oh, we are not worthy. Oh, we are just this. We are thinking sometimes that is pious. It isn't pious. It's shame. And God is summoning you out of shame today in the name of Jesus. Because he knows your address. He knows your address. You know, when they want to summon, they will come to your address. Grace knows your address. Even when shame hides your face, grace knows your address. He knows your address. So they have come with a warrant today to summon you to glory in the name of Jesus. They have come with a warrant to invite you to glory in the name of Jesus. They have come with a warrant. You know, because the warrant is just someone is an invitation to invite you to take your seat in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So don't let your condition cancel your invitation. Don't let your condition cancel your invitation. Don't begin to use your own words and say, oh, I'm a dead dog. Oh, I'm not worthy of this. Oh, if God were to choose people, it can't be me. Oh, I can't even, you know, do this for God because I am not worthy. Jesus says, I am your righteousness. Hey, but pastor, see what happened to me. But pastor, see what I'm addicted to. But pastor, see what has broken my limbs. But pastor, you see, the truth is that what happened to you may explain your limp. But it does not define your place. What happened to you may explain why you are limping, but it does not define your destiny. What happened to you may explain why you get triggered, but it shouldn't define your destiny in God. And it will not, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So at a point, you have to stop. You have to stop allowing shame to speak. You have to stop allowing shame to speak. Grace must speak louder than shame in your life, in the name of Jesus. Grace will speak louder than shame in your life, in the name of Jesus. And, you know, we look at ourselves. Yeah, Pastor, I have a limp. This limp. You know, someone said to me, Pastor, you want me to be in protocol? Pastor, let me tell you something. I said, I'm a bad person. I want to be honest. I'm not the person you are seeing in church. I'm not a good person. She want me to be in protocol. I mean, she was a very honest person, you know. I said, well, it's God that is calling you to be in protocol. Because, you know, God, if there are things that will not give him glory, he will handle it and deal with it out of your life. Praise the name of the Lord. God has never conditioned his calling upon perfect behavior. Check the whole of scriptures. Moses was a murderer. I'm not saying you should murder someone. I'm saying that he found himself in that situation. He was a murderer, and God called him, and he says to God, I can't go back there. I have a record. Praise God. And we can go down the line of everyone that God called. You know, perfect behavior. Yes, God will deal with the situation. Yes, God will make them stronger. Yes, God will make them worthy. But they didn't become worthy before he called them. And even sometimes, God will leave the limp that is not seen to show them that you are human. Jacob had a physical limp after that fight with God, right? He limped, but the covenant was still working even though he was limping. Limping back then, you see, the culture in the Semitic region at the time was such a culture that raises up the perfect behavior. It raises up perfect behavior such that when you see someone that is limping, the person cannot be your leader. Your leader has to be strong. Your leader has to be without any blemish. Your leader has to be able to lead you to war and take territories. But God says he will be your leader and he will be what? He will be limping. He left the limp. You cannot be a leader without being an orator. Moses was a stammerer. God says that we will deal with your anger, but the stammering, we will leave it. Moses stammered till he died. And God said to him, I made the mouth, I can heal it. So sometimes God leaves the limp. He leaves the limp. And the truth is that the king is not calling you because you have no limp. He's calling you because grace has made room for you. He's not calling you because there is no limp. In fact, like we said, sometimes the limp is left to linger. Many times so that we know that we are human. So we are sought by covenant. We are summoned from good. We are sought by covenant. We are summoned from shame so that we can be seated at the table. so that we can be seated at the table, every table that is reserved for you will not be occupied until you come. In fact, right now, you are arriving in the name of Jesus. Grace gives you that place that you could not give yourself. Grace gives you a name that you could not give yourself. Grace puts you in the place that you could not have placed yourself. That's the story here of Mephibosheth. Chapter 9, verse 7 says, "You shall eat bread at my table continually." Continually. Hallelujah. You know, many times, sometimes when God promotes people, they are like, "Oh, will this promotion be permanent? Will this?" I mean, God's intention for you is that you go from strength to strength. Before folks get admission to college, they're like, "Would I ever gain admission to college? Would I ever get a good education?" You got into college, you got an education. "Would I ever graduate?" You've graduated. "Would I ever get a job?" You've gotten a job. "Would I ever get married?" You get married. "Would I ever have a child?" You have children. "Would I ever have grandchildren?" You have. I mean, so the point is that why do you live in a constant state of saying, "Would I ever do this? Would I ever do that?" When your space is already reserved. Praise God. Your space is reserved at the table. Verse 13 says, "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem." That is so powerful. Mephibosheth was now not coming from Lodibar to Jerusalem, from Lodibar to Jerusalem, from Lodibar to Jerusalem. And some people, God has promoted you, giving you a seat, and you are still going from Lodibar to Jerusalem, from Lodibar to Jerusalem. God wants you to dwell in Jerusalem. Dwell in Jerusalem. Take your stuff from Lodibar. Dwell. He dwelt in Jerusalem, for he ate continually at the king's table, and he was lame on both feet. You see, he was still lame on both feet, yet he ate continually at the king's table. And you know what? You know the beauty of sitting at the table with the king when God invites you to sit at the table? When you sit at the table, it doesn't matter. It doesn't show that you are lame. When you are seated, it doesn't show that you are lame. Everyone is seated. So the place that God is calling you to will make your weakness irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. When he sat at the table, what was broken in him was not in focus. When he sat at the table, what was broken in him was not in focus. The king's kindness was what was in focus. As you sit on the table with him, as he has invited you, listen, your weaknesses will not be in focus. When people look at you, what they will see is the king's kindness to you. It's the king's kindness. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What I'm saying is that at the table, your being crippled, what is wrong with your feet is covered by what is right with the king. What is wrong with your feet is covered by what is right with the king. So, it's covered. Your limp will be covered in the name of Jesus. Your do you say this? God will cover you from shame in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God will cover you in the name of Jesus. And it is God's covering that matters the most. You know, people look at you and say, oh, I mean, he has so much, he's doing so much, he's this and that. They think you are far more than you are or you think you are. But if you are honest, it's God that is covering you. Praise the name of the Lord. And he will continue to cover you. In the mighty name of Jesus. So stop standing at the door like a tolerated servant. When the king has called you to sit with him. Stop standing at the door as, oh, what am I? A dead dog before you. No, no, you're a prince. You're a child of the Most High God. And it is so important that we wire this into our existence. Hallelujah. So take your eyes off your limb and keep your eyes on your king. Take your eyes off your limb and keep your eyes on your king. You know why? Because the enemy, if you are the enemy, what will you want to do? The enemy will want you to focus on your limb. The enemy will want you to focus on your limb. But God wants you to notice the table. He wants you to notice the table he has set before you. Take your eyes off your limb. God has set a table before you. And by setting a table before you, his grace is speaking. Your king is speaking. Your maker is speaking. So you need to stop letting your limb speak louder than your king. Let your king speak louder than your limb. Let your king speak louder than your limb. So the king sought you. The king summoned you so that you can be seated by grace. And you will be seated by grace in the mighty name of Jesus. The spaces that have been reserved for you, you will occupy them in the mighty name of Jesus. The territories that have been reserved for you, you will occupy them in the mighty name of Jesus. The regions that have been assigned to you, you will take hold of them in the mighty name of Jesus. And so it is and shall be. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Hallelujah. All right, so still in the, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. We want to give everybody here that is not saved, we want to give you an opportunity to realign yourself. You know, the teaching we just heard now, Pastor said something there. He said, stop standing at the door as a tolerated servant when the king has invited you. The king has invited every one of us. Are you standing at the door, or you are taking your seat at the table? To take your seat at the table means you accepting the invitation that has been extended to you. And that invitation is being extended again today. If you are not saved, that invitation is for you. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that invitation is being extended to you today. All you need to do is to accept, believe, and confess that Jesus died for you. I want to encourage you, I want to ask you, if you're that person that is being called today, just lift up your hands wherever you are. I want to pray with you. Just say that I'm ready to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to follow him from now on. I know that I'm not saved. You are that one that we are talking to. You are the one we are calling, that we're reaching out to. God is knocking on the door of your heart right now, and he's saying, come, my child, come, my son, come, my daughter. Are you that one? Are you there? If you are the person, just lift up your hands wherever you are. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. Just raise up your hand above your head. And if you are online, the instructions are scrolling on the screen right now. The online pastors will reach out to you. Just indicate that you want to give your life to Christ. But if you are physically here in the auditorium, just raise up your hand if you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. just want to put a card in your hand. We're not going to ask you to come forward. Just want to be sure that you are there so that we can help you take the next steps, your next steps in God. So if you're that person, raise up that hand and raise it up boldly. Raise it up boldly. Raise it up boldly. Father, we want to say thank you. We are just truly and truly grateful. We thank you for the word that has gone forth again. Thank you for the invitation that you have given to every one of us to take our seats at the table. Oh, Father, we appreciate you for remembering us, oh God. Thank you, Lord. We do not take this for granted. We ask in the name of Jesus. We will not waste this invitation in the name of Jesus. We'll take our seats boldly. We'll take our rightful positions. And we will all fulfill destinies in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your son that you have used to bless us, to minister to us once again today. We give you all the praise and all the glory. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.